Well, today on the Great Destinations radio show, I'm in Vienna. It's a city declared the most livable in the world for 7 years in a row. I'm here to find out why it's so popular with its 14 million annual visitors. It's a city known for its rich musical history. I didn't mean that, but we'll find out about the men who wrote these. Vienna is easy to walk around, and I'd recommend just wandering. Take in street after street of grand and impressive 18th century architecture, arcades and colonnades. It's also filled with parks and open spaces, including a canal and the River Danube. It means it doesn't feel like you're in a city of 2 million people.
I love Vienna because you get the feeling of a village in a rather large city, actually.
10 minutes train ride from the centre of the city, you'll pass the United Nations offices, a very 1980s-looking curved high-rise, surrounded by lots of steps and a plaza. And at the very next train stop, you're miles away from the bustle of city life. They've rerouted the River Danube to create a water park. You'll find an oasis of calm, a haven for outdoorsy Viennese, sandwiched between river bridges carrying trains and cars. The water is so clear, you can see the shale and weed at the bottom. People of all ages were diving off the wooden piers into the old river. I stood looking down from the road bridge as people walked dogs along the wooden boardwalk. Cyclists rode along the riverside on cycle paths, and locals lay on the steep grassy riverbank lapping up the sunshine. I also spotted the Viennese version of the booze cruise. People were on board what looked like floating garden decking. They were sitting on patio chairs and under parasols on the flat wooden craft topped by a garden shed. The passengers were having a whale of a time, drinking white wine and waving to all passing watercraft from yachts to kayaks to pedalos. I got a cheer as they sailed beneath my bridge. You could have been at a lakeside village in the Alps.
It's a bit like a different city in the city because it's so green and outdoorsy and active, and whereas the city centre is so full of culture and art and elegant.
There's certainly plenty to do whatever time of year you come. I was surprised to see and hear crashing waves in the centre of Vienna. People can go surfing thanks to the Three City Wave Simulator. It's contained in a giant outdoor tank covering 1,000 square metres. Lucas Kaiser says surfing there requires a different skill to that on the ocean.
Yeah, there are a lot of experienced surfers in the sea who have been in Australia, Bali, whatever, and they think they can surf here like a pro. And then they go on the wave, on the river surf wave, and it's completely different. And they see that it's not so easy as it looks like.
This summertime attraction costs €39 an hour. It's easy to see Vienna by foot, but if you want to use public transport, they've made tourist travel hassle-free. You can buy a 24 or 48-hour pass, the Vienna card, and all your trips will then be included. Helena Hartlauer from the Tourist Board told me the card offers discounts at 210 attractions too. It's designed to make exploring the city really easy.
You come to Vienna, you don't have to think about, can I get that tram, that train, that tube, whatever. And the public transport system is simply very efficient. I heard from so many people visiting Vienna the first time that it's really impressive or surprisingly fast and well-functioning.
Or you could see Vienna from the back of a horse-drawn carriage. There must have been 30 queued up at an equine taxi rank in the impressive Michaelerplatz, the square in the centre of the city. The green-domed Imperial Palace, which was the seat of the Habsburg Empire, dominates this space. There's also some Roman remains opposite, which really give you a sense of the history and importance of this city. If you go through a high, imposing archway, you'll reach the city's most popular attraction, the Spanish Riding School, where the white Lipizzan horses perform dressage shows. Tour guide Alexa Brauner says they're a popular choice.
They're very elegant, very intelligent horses coming from Spain originally. And they were brought up in Lipizza, which is in Slovenia, and that's why they're Lipizzan horses. And they make something like a horse ballet, which is unique in the world.
Björg Birgisdóttir is a part-time opera singer who's relocated from Iceland. She told me she wanted to enjoy access to world-class performances in a city renowned for its connection with the composers of musical masterpieces.
You've got two main operas in Vienna, the Volksoper and the Staatsoper. What I've noticed is that the Volksoper does more of the lighter operas. And in summer, they've got a big screen outside the opera. So if you want to just drop by for an aria or so, you can walk by, buy a bratwurst in a stand somewhere and just sort of enjoy.
You can get really cheap tickets for below 10 euros. Of course, then you have to stand. You don't have a perfect view. Sometimes you don't have a view at all. But you are in Vienna State Opera, and you can experience one of those fantastic plays without spending a lot of money, without dressing up.
There are some professional opera goers that actually bring their own chairs.
That's a good tip, isn't it? Take a chair. What do they call them? Shooting sticks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, this was Mozart's home for 3 years from 1747. There's not much to see, to be honest, although the guy got rather excited asking me to imagine the genius staring out at the street scene and composing The Marriage of Figaro, which he did here. It's decorated as it would have been in the era. There's some of his instruments and some of his writings, and you'll learn all about his life.
And Mozart spoke four languages, had never been to school, not a single day.
But he was also a gambler, and because of that, racked up debts and had to keep moving. Well, this is Vienna's interactive sound museum. It plays homage to the composers connected to the city. You can hear examples of their works and watch concerts. You can also see whether you have what it takes to be the next Mozart. The stairs up to the first floor of the exhibition are effectively a giant keyboard, and as you walk up them, your footsteps play notes. There's more racket-making potential on the next floor, where you can try to compose your own waltz by throwing dice onto a screen. When it lands, it plays a short burst of music. Keep tossing and throwing it so you compose your own waltz. The coolest interactive area lets you conduct the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra. You stand at the conductor's podium in front of a massive video screen displaying the musicians. They greet you as you step onto the platform, and the performance speeds up, slows down, or stops, depending on your conducting abilities. It's really hard.
It's not good. I keep stopping.
Pride wounded, I headed off to seek solace and comfort in one of Vienna's famous coffee shops. I'll report on the city's cafe and cake culture and discover why the locals love their wine. Next. Today on the Great Destinations radio show, I'm in Vienna. If you're visiting, you should wear loose clothes. You'll burn off plenty of calories strolling through the streets and boulevards filled with elegant Baroque architecture, but you'll soon undo all of that exercise after a few mouthfuls of the city's excellent cake. Viennese cafes pride themselves in beautifully presented and delicious gâteaux and cakes, and I didn't find any of those dry Viennese world biscuits that we eat in Britain anywhere. Traditional coffee houses have dark panelled walls and chandeliers and white-aproned waiters with the snooty attitude you'd expect. Sackertorte is a thick chocolate cake containing apricot jam on top and coated in dark chocolate icing all over. It was said to be created in the city in 1832. There's long queues at the Hotel Sacker for a table. You'll feel rushed. It's also 12 euro for coffee and cake, but it is worth it. When you enter the Supersense Cafe in the second district, you'll first admire the high white ceilings decorated with ornate gold stucco. But when you pass the tables and cafe counter, it's part shop, part museum for anything non-digital. There's hundreds of old cameras, records, and printing materials. One of the coolest items is a wooden booth. You go inside, follow the instructions, and for a small payment, you can record your voice to create a musical or vocal souvenir of Vienna. Mickey Ritter gave me a tour.
You can come in here without any previous notice and record a single, 90 seconds long, for just 15 euros. So that's something very special, I guess.
The booth was once used as an analog voicemail message machine.
Soldiers in the war could send greetings back home.
Supersense will also help you bottle your good memories of Vienna in their smell lab, a room filled with tiny samples of fragrances, specially made, nothing you've smelt before. You mix up your scent. They say when you sniff it again in the future, the smell will remind you of your trip.
Bring back this emotion later on by smelling the same smell again. It only works if you haven't smelt the thing before, so it's all new smells.
Vienna tour guide Alexa Brauner offered to take me for more coffee. I'm not going to sleep for a week when I get home. She wanted me to try the true taste of Viennese cafes.
And we will have Café Mélange, which is a very traditional way of drinking coffee here in Vienna. It's half coffee, half hot milk with froth, and the coffee is a lengthened espresso.
Alexa says coffee drinking is taken very seriously in Vienna.
As you like to drink tea, we are, let's say, the coffee drinkers. And it started in the late 1600s. It was just a few coffee houses in Vienna, but the big boom was in the second half of the 19th century in Vienna, when many poets, intellectuals met in coffee houses, did write about. So they made it popular also for people reading their books to get into a coffee house. And a coffee house is something like a second living room in Vienna.
Well, we were in a really hip coffee shop in the 6th district where you're free to read or buy books. Former journalist Christian Schadl was inspired by a similar cafe in Laos. He's run Phil for over a decade.
I do it for the books. I do it for people to discover new books or books discovering people. And yeah, that's the reason I do that. Money comes in with the coffee, spirit comes in with the books.
Vienna has all the shopping choices you'd expect in a world capital, but if you're here on a weekend break, bear in mind most shops close on Sunday, even city centre chain stores. Many locals are up early on Saturdays to visit the Nachtmarkt in the 6th district. It hosts over 120 antique bric-a-brac and clothing stores. I wanted to experience traditional Viennese nightlife, and that revolves around wine production. Alexa took me to see a tiny vineyard in a space no more than 4 by 10 metres. It was right in the city centre. In fact, Vienna is the only city in the world with over 1 million inhabitants where wine is grown within the city limits.
And the speciality in Vienna is Wiener Gemischter Satz, which is a field blend where minimum 3 different types of grapes have to be planted in one vineyard. They're all harvested the same day, and the different kind of ripeness makes it a very special wine.
Now, there are wine shops in town, taverns. How do you know if it's an authentic Austrian wine cellar? Is there a sign?
Yes, there is a pinewood bunch hung above the entrance, and they are called Heuriger, which means something which is produced this year or newly.
I boarded the tram and then caught a bus to reach the village of Grinzig in the 19th district. It's a pretty place filled with mustard-coloured alpine cottages, many with window shutters and flower-filled window baskets. There are plenty of wine taverns, and Gerstner's Landhaus, which offers courtyard seating surrounded by the vines, appealed to me. Chef Thomas gave me a chance to sample the local wines produced in the area.
It's just really nearly done by the neighbour, we could say. Like it's made like up the hill here, about 400 meters away from the restaurant where we are here now. Wine in Vienna is made since 2000 years, since the Romans have been here. And this specific kind of wine is made since like 200 years in Vienna. It was nearly forgotten, and it has really huge renaissance now, and now it's really famous and popular here in Vienna.
I stayed in the cool boutique hotel, the Ruby Marie. It's in the creative 7th district, 20 minutes walk to the centre of town along the main pedestrianised shopping street. It's got a really relaxed feel, and the main bar area was more like a New York loft apartment. Low lighting, a comfortable space with sofas and chairs opening out onto a sun terrace where you can enjoy a sunny breakfast or a chilled out evening drink overlooking the city. Chief Operating Officer Michael Struck says it's calm, serene and relaxed.
Our idea of luxury is not the golden faucet, and it's not the marble entrance, and it's not having huge rooms that you don't need if you're on a city trip. We wanted to find a new type of product that we call lean luxury. It's about lighting, it's about quality materials.
The Vienna Tourist Board arranged my accommodation at the Hotel Ruby Marie. I'd definitely stay there again. Vienna is an opulent, attractive and varied city, and so easy to get to from London. with 140 minutes flying time and single fares from £35. I'd recommend a visit to Vienna.
This is the Great Destinations Radio Show.